Samuel is going to finish us off. and then we'll have his lecture.
Don't worry, we've got that round coming.
Yeah, don't we just? You're going to talk to us about Elton John.
The musician known as Elton John was born under the name Hercules MacDaddy in 1949. Expected to join the family business, Hercules originally trained to become a property developer. Former colleagues have reported that the recession of 1973 had left Hercules disillusioned with his place in the world, and it was during one morning commute in the summer of 1974 that the course of his life was forever changed. Perhaps it was by providence that it was his Ford Cortina, directly underneath that grand piano, being crane-lifted into an eighth-story apartment as it fell loose from its shoddily secured fastenings that fateful day. The man who emerged from the wreckage of human, automobile and instrument was utterly transformed. Hercules MacDaddy was dead, and Elton John was born.
Right, now, I didn't want to interrupt, but I'm going a little bit further back. I think you were trying to throw us off by still calling him Hercules, but I think the thing about the 1973 property recession affecting his pump up the jam for property development was true.
No.
Oh.
Sorry, Lewis.
Enthusiasm, that's the word I meant, not pump up the jam.
Doctors diagnosed it as a freak brain injury that had imbued mild-mannered Hercules with prodigious musical ability. From that day forward, he vowed to use his gift for good, to single-handedly heal the inflated property market through the power of music. He could not cast off entirely the man he had been. He incorporated his given name of Hercules into his stage name, Elton Hercules John, and his earliest studio albums betray the signs of a true property developer at work, such as his first five releases, in chronological order. Mama's Got a Brand New Mezzanine. The House at the End of the Street. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Bearing Wall. Got to Get You Into My Fast Track Planning Application. And Honky Chateau.
Was The House at the End of the Street the second album?
I'm afraid it wasn't, Marcus.
I'm the worst gay.
It's not a competition.
However, in a candid press exclusive published in the late 1980s, Elton's mother and stepfather disclosed that there were, after all, downsides to catastrophic brain trauma.
I mean, yeah, there are.
To quote from the interview article directly, Elton does struggle with many things that most people take for granted, such as his inability to pronounce people's names like a normal person. The way his brain processes information, he can only speak the letters of names in reverse order, said Sheila and Fred, or Alias and Durf, as Elton calls them.
Are his mother and stepfather called Sheila and Fred? I mean, is that true?
That wasn't one of my truths, but inadvertently you have stumbled across a truth.
You've rather given it away.
Well, I think that's good.
Oh, they had an interview and they said that he struggled to pronounce people's names, but not backwards.
Lose that point you've just earned.
while we're skirting around, anyone else want to go? Sasha, you're going to throw? He's nearly there.
Well, Sheila and Fred are Achilles and Durf backwards.
But that's not what Hercules would say.
Okay.
Did they just do an interview where they talked about brain trauma?
I don't know.
Completely separate from Elton John.
I don't know. Why would you look to Elton John's
maybe
mum
they're neuroscientists?
For
you don't know them. You weren't there.
I wasn't there. How true.
True.
Let's move on. Let's move on.
Apparently, Elton is also prone to reckless spending habits, purchasing.
He's prone to reckless spending habits.
Who knows? I've not. Wait till you hear
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm waiting.
In a single spree, a flock of doves all dyed the colour puce. The commercial rights to the film adaptation of Street Fighter and Watford Football Club.
He did buy Watford Football Club.
He did buy Watford Football Club.
Thank you.
Elton is also susceptible to periodic amnesia and in 1997 bought the football club again. It is a popular misconception that his song, Candle in the Wind, was composed as a tribute to the actress Marilyn Monroe. In truth, Elton was deeply moved by the death of Kim Il-sung, the late supreme leader of North Korea. Experts have deciphered that the central image of a solitary candle is a coded endorsement of Kim's jutchy political ideology, expressing Elton's well-established solidarity with values of Korean patriotism and self-reliance.
Now, as I think it through in my head, it sounds less likely. But is Elton John a big fan of Korean nationalism?
Not just Korean, Lewis. You said North Korean nationalism.
No, he didn't say North Korean. He just said Korean.
I said Korean.
Yeah. Oh.
It is also not true.
Oh,
sorry.
An updated version released to coincide with the succession of Kim's grandson, Kim Jong-un, featuring the lyrics, "They set you on a treadmill and they made you change your haircut," was widely slated by critics. Curiously, this is merely one of a number of such confusions that connect Monroe and the Kim dynasty. A quote often attributed to the actress was in fact originally spoken by Kim during the first speech he delivered after the official ceasefire of the Korean War. "If you can't handle me at my worst, then you sure as hell don't deserve me at my best." Seamlessly transitioning back to the subject at hand, like Kim Jong-un, Elton John is a beloved prankster, often appearing alongside his husband, Archimboldo Furnishings, on the red carpet social circuit. Elton is well known for his pull my finger routine.
I think Elton is a beloved prankster, and I think he has a well-established pull-my-finger routine.
I mean, I don't know. Okay. So I'm not going to take a point off, but it's not a thing that's true on the list.
Indeed. During the production of Disney's The Lion King, on which Furnishings worked as a producer...
David Furnish, his husband, did work as a producer on The Lion King.
No.
David Furnish's husband did not work as a producer on The Lion King. He did produce that, I know this.
Do you want to let him finish?
No.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you finish.
Wait. Uh-huh. During the production of Disney's The Lion King, on which Furnishings worked as a producer, Elton would often sneak into the recording room in order to pull silly faces at the voice actors as they tried to record their lines. It's a little-known gobbet of trivia.
I'm going to say he did pull faces at people when they were trying to do their lines.
I'm going to say that my light went on first.
It didn't.
But I'm going to not, because you were wrong.
No.
But I thought you were talking about the Broadway production.
I'm going to take a point off both of you. Yeah, that's right. I'm playing hardball now. Finish this off.
Stop saying
that! It's little-known gobbet of trivia that the voice of Mufasa, Simba's mother, would originally have been provided by veteran English actor John Gielgud, but his contract was forfeited when he lost his temper and hospitalised Elton John for a week. Later, whilst Furnish was producing the animated film Romeo and Juliet...
That is true.
It is true.
It is true.
Sorry.
Yeah, no.
Also, I like that you use the word gobbet.
Especially just after Olivia said finish us off.
Oh, it's more than a gobbet. We'll move on. Swiftly.
Elton caused havoc when he replaced the studio microphones with replicas fitted with hidden water squirters. Elton's jocularity was warmly received until the gag misfired and caused a devastating electrical fire. This was still a less embarrassing episode than the film Romeo and Juliet.
And that is the end of Samuel's lecture. Samuel also managed to sneak three truths past the panel. His actual stage name is Elton Hercules John.
No.
Yeah.
He, I stabbed corrected.
He called his stepfather Durf, read backwards.
You were so close.
You were so close. I did try and nudge people, but no. And his fifth studio album is called Honky Chateau.
So close. No. I got the wrong number.
At the wrong game. Who's winning?
Who's winning?
Scores on the door.
Can we find out?
Well, Samuel is in the lead on three. Then we have Sasha on zero. And then we have Marcus on minus one.
I was winning last round.
And then you started buzzing all the time. Despite the comeback, I'm afraid Lewis is bringing up the rear with minus two. if you loved bringing up the rear, you're going to love this next round. It's called In My Pants. It's a rather straightforward game, really. Panelists will devise a series of sentences, which I will then finish with In My Pants. And then if I laugh, they earn a point. This is an actual game they play on Radio 4. Lewis, we'll kick off with you.
So it's like TV shows and things like
yes,
that?
Yes, yeah.
Golden Balls.
In My Pants.
Stranger Things.
In My Pants.
Strictly Come Dancing.
In My Pants.
The Thing with Two Heads.
In My Pants.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
In My Pants.
Black Beauty.
In My Pants.
I've got nothing at the moment. Carry on. In My Pants.
12 Angry Men.
In my pants.
Zayn Malik's pillow talk.
In my pants. Mr. Blobby. In my pants.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
In my pants.
The god of small things.
In my pants.
The men who stare at goats.
In my pants.
Come back to me.
In my pants. I will make this the last two.
The Taming of the Shrew.
In my pants.
I wasn't expecting to do one. Lemonade.
In my pants. Okay, at the end of that, Lewis is up to zero. He's bloody back, mate. Marcus is on one. Sasha is also on one. And then head and shoulders after the first half. It's Samuel on four. Okay, it's the one we've all been waiting for, according to my script. Just a minute. Yeah. If you're unfamiliar with how it works, you're not my friend. This script is not friendly. So, the panelists are going to have to talk for a minute on a given subject without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Other panelists may buzz in to cry foul on any of these thingies. And if their objection is upheld, they continue the minute. Whoever finishes out the minute wins a point. Okay, we'll start with Sasha. And Sasha is going to be talking about public displays of affection, or PDAs.
Public displays of affection are something that is quite a contentious subject, especially among the youth who either...
Oh, I know what you're going to say as well.
There was an
Yeah, there was
that's
an
That's a hesitation. Within the rules of just a minute, that's a hesitation.
I mean, yes, but in the interest of not being here all night, I'm going to let Sasha continue on that one.
You've got no friends in the audience.
It's a fix.
Do continue, Sasha.
As I was saying, public displays of affection are hardly ever enjoyed by anyone outside of the couple who are indeed partaking in the said display. No one really likes seeing people kissing or handling each other in public, especially not in the library and especially not during exam time. I know, I repeated especially.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a double especially.
Oh, wait. But in the interest of being here all
No.
night.
No. Very, very good. We'll move that on over to Lewis. I don't know how long you've got, but do continue.
I remember the first time I saw a public display of affection. It was June, and I was walking across a park, and before me there were two...
Oh, well, I mean, you went for it first. I just pressed it for you.
Thank you. I believe there was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation there, I'm afraid. So, Samuel, it is with you.
Sigmund Freud had something to say about public displays of affection, as I'm sure you can well imagine, and the filmmaker Alfred Hitchcock often explored the theme of voyeurism inherent within most romantic relationships in many of his film works. Take, for example, Rear Window, in which a neighbour perceives his cohabitors in through art.
There was a bit of a stumble.
It was a stumble.
I've pressed the button lots of times, but I haven't thought about anything to say.
Marcus, you have 4 seconds on public displays of affection.
Regrettably, I do not have someone to partake in a public display of affection with, so if anybody wants to apply, I'll be...
The end of that minute.
Taking application.
Marcus gets the point for speaking as the time up went. So, it's going to stay with you, Marcus.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Was that a slow clap? Build the speed!
Yeah, why not?
Thank you.
It's definitely not sympathy. Marcus, you're going to talk to us about getting your hair cut when I tell you to go, which is now.
Getting my hair cut is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I always refuse to go to the hairdressers when my hair is too long. Sitting there, being fondled by a stranger, asking me idle things about the weather and how my life is going. It's rainy and I wish I was dead. So, getting my hair cut. I sit in a basin with warm water being splashed over my follicles. They ask, would you like some conditioner? No, it makes my hair greasy. They ask me...
Oh. Repetition of they.
It's a common word.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Especially.
I can't do it to him, Sasha, I'm afraid.
Well, I'm going to buzz in on that hesitation that was
there
also...
There you go. that is what I'm going to take. Lewis, there is 31 seconds left on getting your haircut.
As you can tell from my marvellous do, I'm a regular attendee of the hairdressers. I sit down...
Deviation, his do is not marvellous.
Well, I mean, you're losing friends in the audience as well, son.
I didn't have any to begin with.
I'm not going to call that a deviation because I rate the lid. So,
The lid?
Yes.
How awful.
So, Lewis, do you continue?
The hairdresser, who usually has rather hirsute arms, will say to me, "Did you see the football last night?" And I'll go, "No, because I never watch any sports. In fact, I hate them with a violent passion." But... once I've said that, I have to then justify why I don't watch the game.
That was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation.
It was also kind of deviation, I'm going to say. Is your opinion of sports...
What's the topic? What's the topic?
Getting your haircut. And that is a thing that is discussed.
Yeah, but he just said I'm going to explain why I don't like sports.
Because it comes up when you're getting your haircut.
Well, how far away does he have to go from the topic for it to be deviation?
Quite a long way.
I do not accept this.
shame it doesn't matter. Marcus, you have 6 seconds left on getting your hair cut.
I am frequently presented with a lotion that I am told will make my hair grow faster. I see your game, Tony and Guy. You want my money again in the future very soon because my hair...
We've had a minute, but you also just hear him rant about Tony and Guy. We're going to kick off with Samuel this time. Your subject is gravity. Off you go.
Do picture the scene, if that's your sort of thing. An autumnal haze is upon the Oxfordshire landscape, and a young professor who has just discovered calculus is slumbering in the bough of an apple tree. A solitary fruit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's a shame. Okay, so gravity with you, Marcus. Take it away.
Gravity, as many middle-aged people who have lost their looks will tell you, is just the pull you have on the Earth. However, I say that gravity is something like a situation one can find oneself in. Such a...
Definite hesitation.
Yeah,
was that was
hesitation.
A deviation from anything.
It was hesitation. Samuel gets a point for a correct challenge and has 32 seconds left on gravity.
As the delicacy of the season's bounty crashed into his cranium, the intelligent young man sprung up. I demand satisfaction. He realised he was talking to a piece of fruit at that point.
You did say fruit last time.
Oh, there was too many
fruits. Too many fruits.
Too many. Oh.
But again, I have nothing more to say.
Ah, fabulous stuff. And you have 20 seconds to say it in. Off you go.
Gravity is a film starring George Clooney and Sandra Bullock about two slightly elderly people who have to spend time in each other's company by themselves. Sandra Bullock, fudge!
Sandra Bullock, you said Sandra Bullock. Quite.
I did, yeah, I played myself.
There was an abundance
of
Sandra
Bullock. I also have nothing to say about gravity.
Well, you don't have long to do it in, so that's
how
fine.
Long, how
you
long is that
long? You have 7 seconds left on gravity. No pressure, off you go.
Gravity is a scientific theory in which people are pulled towards the Earth by a...
I think there was a hesitation there.
I don't even know what it is.
There was a hesitation. Lewis has under a second on gravity. Off you go.
The Higgs boson was discovered.
Yeah. Lewis gets another point for speaking as last week. And it is going to stay with you, Lewis. You are going to talk to us about Disney princesses. Please talk uninterrupted for a minute. Off you go.
There are many Disney princesses. Ariel, Aurora, Pocahontas, Belle, Elsa, the sister of the one who I just said.
Yeah. You get a bonus point for me if you just continue the list.
You will, don't say that.
You've got 50 seconds on Disney princesses. Take it away.
We are the daughters of Triton, great father who loved us and named us well. Arista, Atina, Atella, Alana, Aquata, Ariel, and another one that I can't remember the name of.
Mulan is my favourite Disney princess because she dresses as a man to appease someone. That is sometimes what I do, but in reverse. Tangled is another film featuring a Disney princess, also known as Rapunzel, with long hair that can be used to bitch slap someone she doesn't like. Another film.
There was a hesitation.
Repetition
there.
Of film as well.
Can I have a point?
No. No, you don't get to do that on yourself. Lewis gets to continue his list with 14 seconds left. Off you go.
My cousin's daughter has a terrifying obsession with the film Frozen, in which she'll run around singing Let It Go and pretending she has ice powers. Unfortunately, she's only wearing a blue dress. The small girl...
Beautiful. Should we do another one?
Yeah.
Yeah. The audience says yes.
Let's get a word from that person.
Yeah, why not? Shout out a word for us.
Crocs.
Sasha, please tell us all about Crocs.
Am I who springs to mind when you...
I'm saying nothing. Your subject is Crocs. Off you go.
I think we can all agree that Crocs are a...
I'd like, again, a repeat of, do we all agree that Crocs are a...
It's not the unbelievable truth.
Deviation from the truth. Also, there was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation. We got there eventually. So, Marcus, Crocs, 56 seconds. Off you go.
There is only one thing worse than Crocs, and that is fake Crocs, or mocks, as we will call them. Imagine strapping a piece of plastic to your foot, only to find out that it is not designer, and it has holes in that will let water into your feet, making you sad, even sadder than the fact that you own Crocs. Another thing about Crocs is the fact that you can purchase pins to put in them, looking perhaps like a ladybird or a Disney princess. This is reserved for the people who are at the lowest of the low. The ones who have no home to go to other than that piece of rubber around their toes. Crocs.
Oh, please. Oh, that is a hesitation.
It was a hesitation.
I breathed.
I'm afraid it was a hesitation.
I'm watching you.
Samuel has 10 nervy seconds to negotiate on Crocs. Take it away.
Well, I really don't know much about this footwear malarkey that everyone seems to be banging on about, but I do know that in America, a Croc is a culinary item consisting of potted cheese. Quite why anyone would enjoy such an item.
And that'll do.
Oh, damn it, because he said that twice.
Another point. So, at the end of that round, Sasha scored 1 point. Samuel scored 4, Lewis had 6, and Marcus had an astonishing 8.
Oh, that's boys. What comes of being petty. Thank you.
We'll move on to our final game of the evening. People want to go home, I get it. The final game is one song to the tune of another. We take a song, our panelists have to sing it to the tune of a different song. It's rather self-explanatory, now I've explained it. First up... It's Marcus.
Hello.
Marcus, can you sing Avril Lavigne's belter, Skater Boy? Yeah, damn right, that's the reaction. To the Les Mis / Susan Boyle classic, I Dreamed a Dream.
I think I can, Ali.
It's the whole song, so strap it. He was a boy. She was a girl. Can I make it any more obvious? He was a punk. She did ballet. What more can I say? He wanted her. She'd never tell the secret that she wanted him as well. But all her friends stuck up their nose. They had a problem with his baggy clothes. He was a skater boy. She said, see you later, boy. He wasn't good enough for her. She had a pretty face, but her head was up in space. Wish me luck. She needed to come back down to earth. She sits at home, feeding the baby. She's all alone.
I'll finish.
Turns on TV. Oh, guess that's... who she sees?
As amusing as it would be, skateable, we're gonna move on. Fabulous stuff. Well, Sasha.
I mean, I can't follow from that, but
do please follow that with the Fresh Prince of Bel Air to Land of Hope and Glory.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute.
Good stuff. Samuel, you
brace
are
yourselves.
Up next.
I think this is the finishing off that you were referring to earlier.
Ah, Samuel, your song is Baseline Junkie by Dizzy Rascal to the tune of Are You Going to Scarborough Fair?
I'm a fiend for a big dirty baseline. When I hear one, I have a great time. A bit of Butterman's, all I require. I let the bass line take me higher. My friends think that it's a bad habit, damn it. If you take my bass away, I'll blow your fucking face away easy. You might think that's over the top, so don't come around here whinging. I just wanna hear the bass line rinsing. Or we can just skank out all day. If not, get the fuck out my way.
That was beautiful. And sadly, Samuel isn't going to finish us off. It's going to be Lewis. Lewis.
I would like to point out, I don't have any formal training.
Can you sing This Charming Man by the Smiths to Mr. Brightside?
I can try.
Punctured bicycle on a hillside desolate. Will nature make a man of me yet? When in this charming car, this charming man, this charming man, this charming man, why pamper life's complexity when the leather runs smooth on the passenger seat? I would go out tonight, but I haven't got a stitch to wear. This man said it's gruesome that someone so handsome should care. A jumped up pantry boy who never knew his place.
He said, return the ring. He knows so much about these things. He knows so much about these things. I would go out tonight, but I haven't got a stitch to wear. This man said, it's gruesome that someone so handsome should care.
I think I went a bit flat.
That was a stunning effort, Lewis. I'm hugely impressed. So that takes us to the end of the show, I'm afraid. Aww. And also to the all-important scores. But attention, but not really. In last place, with a positive 2 points, it's Sasha White. Then we're up to 6, sort of completing a comeback. It's Lewis. And then there's just 1 point separating the other two. The tension. It's not really. Samuel is on 8 points, which means our winner of an evening with Radio 4 is Marcus on 9 points. This has been an evening with Radio 4. Thanks again to our panelists, Marcus, Lewis, Samuel, and Sasha. I have been Ollie Jones.
Hesitation!
In a nutshell, why you were last. Thanks to the producers. That's near the end.
Hesitation.
That was not a hesitation, really.
Why you didn't do
that's
it?
A lie!
Alice, Emma, Hannah, and Zach, thanks to your wife for coming along and recording it. That'll do. Please, good night.